Our epistle for this third Sunday after Epiphany is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 12, verses 16 through 21. Brethren, be not wise in your own conceits. To no man render evil for evil, but provide good things not only in the sight of God, but also in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as far as in you lies, be at peace with all men. Do not avenge yourselves, beloved, but give place to the wrath, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if thy enemy is hungry, give him food. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For by so doing, thou wilt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 8, verses 1 to 13. At that time when Jesus had come down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came up and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And stretching forth his hand, Jesus touched him, saying, I will, be thou made clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, See thou tell no one, but go, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a witness to them. Now when he had entered Capernaum, there came to him a centurion who entreated him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying sick in the house, paralyzed, and is grievously afflicted. And Jesus said to him, I will come and cure him. But in answer the centurion said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man subject to authority, and I have soldiers subject to me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard this, he marveled, and said to those who were following him, Amen, I say to you, I have not found such great faith in Israel. And I tell you that many will come from the east and from the west, and will feast with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom will be put forth into the darkness outside. There will be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the centurion, Go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done to thee. And the servant was healed in that hour. Thus far the words of today's epistle and holy gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. A leper came up and worshipped him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, oftentimes when we read the scripture, as you've heard me say before, we read it like a story that happened a long time ago. And we forget what the scripture tells us, that these things are written for our instruction. There are reminders given to us, reminders that we have to apply in the present. And if we don't, we fail. First reminder we're given when we read the gospel today is the great need for adoration, proper adoration. We all came to church today, but how many of us have walked into the church and adored God? Before you can adore God properly, though, you have to recognize and acknowledge his existence in this place in a special manner, not a fairy tale. Do I believe that Christ is present in the Blessed Sacrament? I have been blessed to assist the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Do I understand what that means? My faith is not about what I feel or what I think, but it's in Christ's ability of who he is. And recognizing the distance between he and ourselves, by admitting who we are. The leopard knew he was a leopard. Do we know that we are sinners? That of and by ourselves we have no hope. Christ himself tells us this very clearly. Without me you can do nothing. But the fact of the matter is that we have him, or we have the ability to have him, on account of his goodness and his grace and his love, if we want him. But the first step that needs to take place is humility. Humility is truth. We have to admit who we are, admit who He is, and approach properly. And behold, a leper came up and worshipped Him. Worshipped. You don't worship anyone but God. We come to church today to worship who? God. How does one worship God? There's only one way to properly worship God, and that's His way. I was reading the book of Ecclesiasticus. There's a part that came up, chapter 25, and it says that the Lord hates, I know strong words, the Lord hates a poor man that is proud, a rich man that is a liar, and an old man that is a fool. What does that mean? Well, a poor man that is proud. That means somebody who recognizes what they don't have, but they're too proud to do what they need to do to get what they don't have. We all spiritually are proud. We all spiritually have a fallen human nature and are sinners. The proud man won't admit that, or the proud woman won't admit that. Because once you admit that, then there's a need for a change. There's a need for a remedy. A rich man that is a liar. You and I were rich. He said, well, wait a minute, Father. You just called us poor. Yeah, we're poor because we have a fallen human nature, but we're rich because we have Him. And when you lie to yourself about how you can have association with the source of richness, you're hateful to the Lord, because there is only one way, there is only one truth. Christ Himself says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Keep them. Live them. If you love me, if you want to have that relationship with me, and you can, and if you do, then you're rich. We who come to church and are able to participate in the holy sacrifice of the Mass and receive our Lord, the God-made man, under the appearance of bread in Holy Communion, if you really believe what He says, gospel truth, then you're rich. And an old man that's a fool, an old man that's a fool is one who persists in their way of justifying doing what they want to do instead of denying self and following Christ. We fear too much what might be in the future. We fear too much of what other people think. And this is the wrong type of fear that we need to have, but we need to have fear, for fear is the beginning of wisdom. We have to have a proper and right fear of the Lord. No, we're not just talking about the weeping and the gnashing of teeth as we read in today's gospel, although we need to calculate that in. Because if we're not with the Lord when our time runs out, then we can't be with Him in His eternity. And there, the alternative is darkness, weeping, gnashing of teeth, eternal loss. So yes, there's that. But as we said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We understand who He is and who we are, and we fear to lose Him and not be one with Him. Continuing our read in the book of Ecclesiasticus, same chapter, it says in verse 13, how great is he that findeth wisdom and knowledge, but there is none above him that feareth the Lord. The fear of God hath set itself above all things. Blessed is the man to whom it is given to have the fear of God. He that holdeth it, to whom shall he be likened? The fear of God is the beginning of his love, and the beginning of faith is to be fast joined to it. We must fear not knowing God. Today is the feast of St. Agnes, a 12, 13-year-old girl who suffered martyrdom for Christ. She gave herself in such a young age to Christ. She was blessed with abundant beauty, and there were numerous suitors and young men interested in her. We could consider her one of the first nuns or sisters, for she pledged herself to Christ, and she suffered martyrdom after much persecution. The gospel that's used for her feast day is the gospel of the wise and foolish virgins. The wise virgins were ready. They had extra oil for the lamps. The foolish virgins didn't. They were nonchalant about what was taking place. And like, it should be fine. It's gonna all work out. And when the call came and they both rose, the foolish virgins saw that they didn't have enough oil for the lamp. They knew they had to go get some, so they tried to, at the last hour, to go find some. Bridegroom came, those that were ready went in, and when they came and they followed and they tried to come in, knocked on the door, "Open to us, O Lord." And what does he say? "I don't know you." That's the thing we need to fear. Do you know the Lord? Does he know you? As he wants to know you, intimately in your heart and soul. The steps that we have to take are minimal. He makes the biggest leap. He has come from eternity into time, to this day, to this moment, and waits for you to make your decision. What's your decision going to be? Are you going to be willing to kneel down and at Mass say, as the centurion said, "Lord, I am not worthy, but say the word, and my soul will be healed"? This is the moment of truth. This is your moment. The last thing I want to point to is that whole part where we talk about the centurion, and his prayer was not for himself. His prayer was for his servant, and his servant was cured. Do you have loved ones, family, friends, associates? Poor sinners that our Blessed Mother, Our Lady of Fatima, spoke of, that so many of them are lost because there's no one to sacrifice and to pray for them, but you can, I can, today we can. And if you humbly approach the Lord and you acknowledge his power and his grace and his goodness and his love, and in your heart of hearts you desire it, then you can become an instrument of his goodness and love. But we must be worthy to say, "I am not worthy." We must be willing to say, "If thou wilt, Lord, you can make me whole." We must have that faith. We must put things in right and proper order. Out-equate selfishness, self-love, and self-pride. And understand what we really have. Appreciate it. And open ourselves up to him and his influence. Only then can we have happiness in time and in eternity. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.